Good morning. I'm Kerry Amos, worship pastor here at First West. We're so happy to have you with us joining in our service today. If you'd like to check out more about what's going on here at First West, please check out our website, firstwest.cc. Again, thank you for being with us.
This morning, sitting on the platform with me here is my friend Larice Rollins. Some of you know Larice. You may have seen him before. But I want you to have the opportunity to hear with Transform, and what we do through Transform, you're going to hear more about this in time to come. We have this a Transform Fund where we give above and beyond our normal tithes. And we give because we take that money and every cent of it goes to missions, every cent of it. And part of that is through our ministry called Broaden Horizons. So, Larice, share with us real quick about your role in Broaden Horizons and a little bit about Broaden Horizons in and of itself.
So my role is the discipleship coordinator, which I usually just say is a fancy title for I do stuff. but really, what my job is to hire, recruit, train, and coach our mentors. So basically, I'm duplicating myself into the other mentors. And so our program, it has a lot of different facets, but it really lives out the heart of the name, Broaden Horizons. And so what we're doing is we're broadening our students' horizons. So a lot of our students, you know, haven't even done things as simple as sit in a restaurant and order from a menu. And so they get to do things like that and then to go to different college campuses. And we're just really expanding them and allowing them to see things that they hadn't seen living in impoverished neighborhoods.
That's awesome. For those of you that have been here for a while, you've followed the story of Broaden Horizons, start with a small handful of students, and God has just blessed. And so now with a partnership through the Washoe Parish School Board, we're at five different schools, some in West Monroe, some in Monroe. We work with teachers. We're doing after-school programs where we're investing into kids, working with teachers, investing into kids, but not just from an academic setting, but from emotional investment, a spiritual investment, no doubt. And that's 12, I believe it's 12 hours a week. 30 weeks out of the year. So that's 360 hours out of the year that we're getting to pour into these kids. And it's working with mentors that you're investing in for that spiritual relationship. So there's someone in their life. And it's just incredible to see what God has done and the favor that he's had. And we're praying that he'll continue to have. Now talk to us a little bit, because there's another component of Broaden Horizons. It's the summer program. Talk to us about the summer program.
Yeah, so the summer program is an opportunity for us to really focus on what we call the Jesus factor. And through our mentors, just really getting to pour into our students. And so if we're with them for 10 hours of the day, 40 hours of the week, and from morning to that evening, we're just pouring into them. We start off with breakfast and fitness breaks and devotionals, and then we partner with ULM with the STEM camp, and so they're learning how to make robots and all of those different things. And as we conclude every day again with Jesus.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's incredible to see just what happens through the summer program. Again, partnership with ULM, so they're getting incredible investment there from ULM and just these areas of technology and stuff. But then you said at the end of the day, Broaden Horizons, it's about the Jesus factor. That's why we do what we do. I want this crowd to hear for you what the highlight was from the summer program this year.
Man, the highlight of the summer program definitely had to be that we presented the gospel message to our students, you know, took a very intentional moment to do that. And so we had about 14 students respond that day to the gospel and profess their faith. But even more decisions were made as we walked closer to our closing program. And so we had probably an additional three or four students, and some made their decision that night. We had the opportunity to baptize 12 people. And I say 12 people and not 12 students for a very specific reason. One of our students by the name of Joshua made a decision because, you know, after his uncle passing, he said, you know, you never know when your time is coming, and I don't know when my time is, so I need to make sure that my eternity is secured. Yeah. And so he made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ. And so through Joshua's decision, he also had a football game that was going to be the same night as the night we were going to baptize at our closing ceremony. So he told his dad, he says, Dad, I'm not going to the football game. I'm going to get baptized. Check this out. But Dad said, well, I'm getting baptized too.
That's
praise
awesome.
The Lord. Absolutely. Praise the Lord.
That's awesome.
And so when Dad made that decision to get baptized, I did decision counseling with him. But on the ride there, it's amazing that what happens when a father does the right thing and chooses to make that decision, that the kids in the back, the younger siblings, were saying they wanted to get baptized. And so even though 10-year-old Hannah had a cast on her leg, we still baptized her as well. So God is worthy to be praised for this summer.
That's awesome. Incredible. And that's, when we talk about Broaden Horizons, that's us. And that's First West. That's as we invest our time, as we invest our energy, as we volunteer, as we give to the Transform Fund, lives are being touched. Families are being touched in our community because of this. Share with us. We know Broaden Horizons made a huge difference. I mean, we heard last year about the original group of Broaden Horizons. I think it was 14 out of 15 of them are in college right now, just seeing a lot of wins. I want you to share about the difference Broaden Horizons has made in your life.
Man, I started out in Broaden Horizons. I believe we're going to the second year. And if those who remember Zoe is the one who brought me on, and he saw something unique in me, and he gave me a chance. And I have to be completely honest that my lifestyle did not live according to the Bible. And as Zoe brought me on, and then Andrew came, and he discipled me, and Dina opened those opportunities for my gifts to shine and to flourish. And it has been an amazing journey to see my life change significantly, that now I can say that I'm walking according to the standards of the Lord. And he's pleased with my walk, and it's a daily battle to be right. Just like him. And I have to say, you know, thank you for the internship, because that wouldn't have been possible had it not been for our church family here sowing into Broaden Horizons financially, but as well as praying for us that our program is not just impacting the students, but every single individual that's connected to the program, from cafeteria workers who are praying with us at the end of the day, and we're counseling them, to maintenance people who are also praying with us, and to our mentors who are changing their majors because they have a heart for our students now, all because of what Jesus Christ is doing through Broaden Horizons and through the giving of this church and the prayer. So I say, First West, thank you so much for believing in me and sowing into Broaden Horizon, consequently impacting my life as well as every single person that's connected to Broaden Horizon. And again, I say it over and over again, it's only possible because you believed in the program and you gave, and more importantly, you prayed. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It's been fun to watch Larice's journey. Again, this is a program, as he said, it's making a difference, not just with the kids that are being invested in, but with those that are on these campuses, these after-school campuses that are seeing the Jesus factor happen. And then even, you know, in your life, as he mentioned, the internship. Larice now serves as a pastoral intern here at First West. And so I meet with him each week. God has put a call in his life to preach the gospel and is in seminary. And, man, we're just thrilled about what God's doing in your life and how he's going to use you. And we want you here at First West a long time, buddy. A long time. But listen, God is making a difference, and he's making a difference all around the globe. It's happening here in Northeast Louisiana, and it's also happening in a place called Nicaragua. I want you to watch a video of some people you know well, the McIntyres, and see how God is using them to see to it that no one in Nicaragua would miss the grace of God. Watch this.
My name is Ashton McIntyre.
And I'm Christy McIntyre.
So we're the McIntyre family. We have a son, Luke, who's 12, and Anna Faith, who is 10. And we've been serving the last 2 years in Thailand, and there in Southeast Asia. And so our ministry is called Willing to Go, and we've been doing some incredible stuff there. We've had teams come and help us, and that's been awesome. We've been working with college students, teaching English, sharing the gospel. We've taken a Bible study called the Explore Study. It's 7 lessons on exploring God's Word, God's world, and God's work. We've had teams come together and translate that into Burmese and into Thai, so that's being used now to mobilize the Thai believers to reach their nation and other nations for Christ. So we're excited about that. We've distributed the gospel in over 2,000 different homes in Thailand, so people are hearing the gospel. We had an initial 2-year commitment there, and when we got to the end of that 2 years, we were praying, okay, God, do you want us to do another year, or do you have something else for us? And we didn't feel led to do another year, even though our work there will continue through our ministry and other people that's come on with our ministry. But we didn't feel like it was time to come home just yet. And so so we were praying, okay, God, where? And so we still have a big heart for Latinos down where we used to work in Nicaragua and Central America. Now, by the time you're seeing this video, we're in Central America in Costa Rica at language school, and we're going to be there for a year, and then we're going to transition to Nicaragua. And so we're really excited about that. We think it's key that we learn the language and that we're fluent, read, write, speak, for maximum kingdom impact and relationships down there.
As we leave language school a year from now, we don't know what the future holds, but I do know that God's really pressed upon my heart to dive full-time into our ministry, Willing to Go, and maybe teaching in a different capacity at some point, maybe homeschooling the kids, but right now, it's just to be a part of this huge mobilization movement that we really feel God is using us for and willing to go.
And I just want to thank you guys for all that you do and for being involved. And it is important that everybody hear about the grace of God. And thank you for doing your part through going or through sending, through financial support, these different things, and through praying.
It's incredible to see another family from our church. Yeah, you can applaud that. Another family from right here in Northeast Louisiana that has said, we're going to see to it to the ends of the earth. And we get to support them. We get to join in with that. It's so awesome. Hey, sitting here with me now is my friend Kathy Ray. Many of you know Kathy has been in our church a long time. Great family, involved in choir and our worship ministry. But I want you guys to hear from her about her involvement in a ministry called Kids Hope. Now, Kids Hope is another ministry in our church. Been here a long time, led by Ginger Johnson. Transform helps us to accomplish Kids Hope. Share with us, before we start talking about really the specifics of Kids Hope, share with us about what it was for you. What was that? What took it for that step to happen to get involved in local, in a local ministry?
Well, I wanted to do something different other than outside of the walls of the church.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be the hands and feet, as the song tells us and the word tells us. And Ginger came to me several times wanting to ask me to be a part of it. And I just finally gave in to that signing up, and that's what led to it. Just wanting to make a difference.
Yeah. So for some of you here today, maybe you're at that place that Kathy was at, that there was that feeling inside of her of, hey, I want to do something. I don't know what it is, but I know I want to do something outside the walls of this church. And for you, the right connect was Kids Hope. And so you've had the opportunity now with Kids Hope, where we're mentoring children here in the area. I want you to share a little bit about when you first met your Kids Hope child and kind of where you're at now in that process.
I started 4 years ago in kindergarten, and it was just a very scary time for me because even though he was kindergarten, I didn't know what to do.
Right.
I didn't know what to expect, and I wanted to do everything by the book.
Yeah.
And there were, I would say, weeks on end, maybe even the first half of the year, that he would not talk. Of course, the trust factor was had to be built. And there were times that we just sat for 30 minutes. It could have been 20.
Didn't do anything.
Didn't do anything.
Didn't say
but
anything. Just
holding.
Sit.
I just put my arm around him, and he just sat there with me.
Hmm. So if you're here today and you would say, God can't use me, listen to that story. Mm-hmm. She just sat next to a child for 30 minutes. That's what he needed in that moment. Mm-hmm. Where are you guys at now today?
Well, I have the brother, the other brother, and they bring such joy. I look forward to seeing them every week. My entire family is involved, and when I say entire, it's my in-laws, my mom, you know, everybody that knows me knows
them. You just
brought
them with you. Come on.
4 years. He had his eyes were crossed, mm-hmm. and he had to have a procedure to have them straightened, and I was able to take the oldest one to the doctor in Shreveport to get the appointment sooner than later.
Yeah.
The doctor comes here, but he could see him in Shreveport. And I was able to sign up. I had permission from the grandmother to take him. And when I went in, I signed up his name and put my name out to the side. And they wanted to know if I was his grandmother. I said, no. Wanted to know if I was his mom. No. Well, who are you? You know. And I said, well, I'm his Kids Hope friend, his Kids Hope mentor. And she wrote that on his form.
Yeah.
And so when I got to the back, those ladies said, what is Kids Hope? You know, what is this? And they called the doctor in and told him, allowed me to share the Kids Hope story with the entire office.
Yeah, that's incredible.
His eyes are straight.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you know, I think about that at just the influence that there, you know, you say, I'll volunteer, you know, I'll go sit with the kid for 30 minutes. And now God has been able to use you where, you know, you guys didn't, I mean, y'all didn't pay for this surgery. They just needed someone to just grab the reins and to make it happen. And so here's this young boy whose eyes were crossed, who, you know, it no doubt was suffering bullying and other things that were going on. And because you had gotten to a place saying, I want to make a difference. God puts you in this kid's life. You sit with him for a season. And then you just say, hey, I'm going to make a difference. And this, as you know, it affects this child, not just the rest of the school year, for the rest of his life. I mean, and so that wasn't, it didn't take too much effort to drive him to Shreveport, and it's changed his life from that standpoint, but also just the difference spiritually as they've come and gotten plugged into VBS this year, and just the witness that you're being, your life group has gotten involved to bless this family, and so you're making not just an impact with his eyesight, but an eternal difference as you're investing in him. That's incredible. And then just when you got nurses and doctors going, what's kids hope? You know, that's fun. Right. That's a fun conversation to have. What would you say to someone that's out there that they're at that place this morning, maybe where you were at, of something that someone says, yes, I want to get involved. I want to make a difference. What would you say to them to help them make that next step?
Well, first of all, it's the most joy you'll ever get. I know we all enjoy doing for others, and of course, it's more blessed to give than to receive, and that is so true with this. You know, just do it, try it, and see what happens, and you won't be disappointed. It's been a blessing.
Yeah,
a big blessing.
As we sang earlier, you know, that God makes us brave. I'm thankful that you took that step to just trust God. Maybe uncomfortable, but I'm going to trust God. Mm-hmm. And the joy that he's brought you in return is so sweet. If you're here this morning, you say, I'm ready to take that step. When we dismiss this morning at our pods out here in our lobby, these areas, they are set up with all the different local ministries that we have. And so you can go and ask questions. You can get connected. We're trying to make this like a slow ball down the middle for you. All right. We're trying to make it as easy as possible for you here today and say, I know that I need to, and I want to, for you to connect. Can you guys give Kathy a hand? We're so thankful for Kathy. Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we have a heart, as I said, for Northeast Louisiana, for New Orleans, and for the world. And we are going to see to it that no one misses the grace of God. That's what God's put us here to do. I want you to see a video so you can see a little bit of our heartbeat for the city of New Orleans. Watch this.
Walking these streets is like walking in Europe. Small streets. Buildings stacked on top of each other. But this isn't Europe. This is our backyard. New Orleans. Cajun living, crawfish, the Saints and the Pelicans. It's here where the Mississippi River pours into the Gulf of Mexico. It's here where music resounds throughout the entire city. It's here where jazz was born. It's here where destiny and championships are declared. It's here where millions gather to party hard for the sake of religious tradition. It's here where millions gather to do and to see things they can't undo or can't unsee. It's here where many have come with a lack of hope. It's here, right in our backyard. And for everything we know about New Orleans, the most important feature of this city, its people. They're working hard, striving to make a living, serving us when we travel to this city. It's people who honestly don't want to be in the French Quarter, but have to in order just to survive. It's people who find themselves in a place where darkness works to overtake the light. But it's here where the gospel is needed. It's here where our worlds should begin to collide in an effort to bring hope. It's you and I working together to move out of the French Quarter and into the neighborhoods like Uptown to meet people where they are. It's us working together to help Pastor Reagan Ferris and Lifehouse City Church love on this city. It's supporting and upholding the mission and vision of their work in these neighborhoods. It's partnering to share the gospel to a town steeped in religious history but with little gospel presence. It's doing everything we can to see to it that no one misses the grace of God. Will you see to it?
We're going to make a difference in New Orleans. I'm telling you right now, we're going to make a difference in New Orleans. The question is, are you going to partner with us to do it? And we hope that you will. You can applaud that. I'm all right with that. We're thankful for the partnership with Reagan Ferris. You'll get to hear him tonight. You come back tonight, we'll do our supper in the street, and then being here tonight, you'll get to hear from Reagan. So thankful for the difference that he's making. And we're going to be sending trips down there to New Orleans to connect with him and to make a difference there in those neighborhoods. It's coming, and we want you to be a part of it. People have asked me, they've said, Michael, you've been pastor for about a year now. What's it been like? And I said, well, you don't have time. No, not really. I let them know. I say, here is the biggest thing that I've learned, or maybe the biggest challenge that I've faced in 1 year of being the pastor of First West. So the biggest challenge, the biggest maybe unknown was this, is I didn't realize that the good days were going to be so good and that the hard days were going to be so hard. I mean, that's been, I think, if I could sum up my takeaway from this year, the good days were going to be so good and the hard days were going to be so hard. One of the great days that I had was about 3 weeks ago. I was in the lobby right out here. And I was visiting with a senior adult in our church, and we were talking about all the changes that have taken place over this last year. There's been a lot of changes that have taken place in our vision, in our mission. The obvious one you can see in our facilities, there's a lot of changes that have taken place. And he put his arm around me, and he said, Michael, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And I can tell you, I was so blessed in that moment to be the pastor of this church. Because, you know, so often our senior adults, they get a bad rap that, you know, they're just rigid in their ways and they just want everything for them. And here's a senior adult in our church that says, Michael, let's do whatever it takes. You know, the Apostle Paul had a heartbeat just like that for people. In Romans chapter 9, he lays out the beginning of Romans chapter 9. He says this. He says, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying, for my conscience bears witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off for the sake from Christ, for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They're Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. You see, Paul, here we're seeing his heart on paper. He says that he is in great sorrow and he had unceasing anguish in his heart. Why was he at that place? Why was Paul at a place that he had deep sorrow and unceasing anguish inside of him? I think it was for two reasons. The first one is this, is because of his understanding of the gospel. His understanding of the gospel. You see in Romans chapter 1 through 8, in this letter, where he is going to clearly argue exactly and define exactly what the gospel is, right? He's going to tell us that sin is no longer our master. He's going to tell us that in the gospel, because of the gospel, that though we were once slaves to sin, we are now slaves to righteousness. He would tell us that if we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with our mouth God raised him from the dead, we can be saved. We see in Romans chapter 8, that beautiful chapter where it tells us that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. He tells us there is no condemnation for those that are now in Christ Jesus. He has laid out over these eight chapters exactly what the gospel is and what it means for humanity. And coming out of that, in chapter 9, he says, I have a deep sorrow in my heart. You see, I think Paul understood the need of the gospel and the hope of the gospel for every human being. And in that, it caused him a deep sorrow. Well, why? Yes, it was in an understanding of the gospel, the need and the hope of the gospel, but it also resounded from his deep, deep love for people. His deep love for people. He's saying there, I wish for me that I would be cut off for the sake of my people. And then he goes on to share about his people, the Israelites, and saying they are special people. And so it's out of these two things, out of this love for the gospel, this understanding of the gospel, and this deep, affectionate, passionate love for people, that it brings him to a place of saying there's deep sorrow, and I wish for myself that I could do whatever it takes. You know whose heart that sounds a lot like? Jesus' heart. We see in Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35, it tells us, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And then it goes on in verse 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So you see, there's several things I want you to see here. I mean, the first thing is this. Don't miss this morning. It says, and Jesus went. Now, I think I can make a strong argument that if there is anyone that has ever walked the face of this earth, that it is God's Son, His perfect Son, full of holiness, without sin, God wrapped in flesh. If anyone had a reason not to go, it was Him. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. If anyone had the right to sit and let people come to Him, it's Jesus. But praise be to God, Jesus went. And He went not just to the people. We know ultimately He went to the cross, and that's the hope of the gospel. But Jesus went. And what does it tell us that He did when He went? Proclaiming the gospel. Jesus, more than anyone, knew the need of the gospel. He knew that because of sin, everyone had sinned, that there is separation from God, there is death, there is spiritual death and physical death as a result of that sin. He understood the need for a solution to the sin problem. But He also went proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom because He knew the hope of the gospel. He knew the hope that lives could be forgiven and lives could be changed. That those who walked in hopelessness could now walk in hope. It says He had compassion on them. He was stirred in His heart and all that He was when He saw where the people were at. Christine Kane has a pretty famous quote that I think is really good for us today. She said, true compassion, it means that we must cross the street, get involved, and go into the midst of the pain and brokenness of humanity, and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. She goes on to say this. I want you to catch this morning. Hang with me, all right? She said, it is not compassion unless it leads to corresponding action. It's not compassion unless it leads to corresponding action. So here we see Jesus had compassion on them. He went to them. He met their need. There's a big difference. Hear me this morning. Balcony, hear me this morning. There is a big difference between concern and compassion. Concern says, man, that's unfortunate. Compassion says, I'll do whatever it takes. You see, for Jesus, He went to them. And He had compassion on them. Jesus, an understanding of the need and the hope of the gospel, at the same time partnered with a deep love for people, it caused Him to go. I'm thankful for this church that there are people that live out this compassion. I'm thankful for men like Tom Singletary, who's in our church, who God has stirred his heart, has pricked his heart for the young men in this neighborhood in the shadow of our steeple. That years ago, he began a ministry using the avenue of basketball to invest in the young men right here around us. This year, through Tom and through the volunteers that he's mobilized and trained, there have been over 200 young men that have heard the word of God in their life, and over 30 of them have trusted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior because Tom has a deep understanding of the need and hope of the gospel and a deep love for these young men, and it's compelled him to go and to make a difference. Aren't you thankful for that? Yeah. I'm thankful for Ginger Johnson, who heads up our Kids Hope ministry. I heard a story that she was sharing about a young man that was being mentored by someone through Kids Hope. And his mentor came and met with him one day, and he just wanted to bless him. And so he gave him his lucky cap. He wore it whenever he would play golf. I wish he would have given it to me. All right, but he gave this young man his lucky golf cap. The next day, this boy came to school and he asked to see his guidance counselor. And he went into his guidance counselor. And as he went in and sat with his guidance counselor, he pulled out a stuffed animal. It was a little puppy. In fact, this puppy, I'm not making this up, all right? This is a true story. He said to his guidance counselor, he said, "Can you get this puppy to my Kids Hope mentor?" The guidance counselor said, wait a second, why are you doing this? He said, well, I sleep with it at night, but my mentor, he gave me his lucky golf cap, and so I want to give something to him. The guidance counselor said, are you sure you want to do that? He said, my Kids Hope mentor, he's special to me. You see, an understanding of the need and the hope of the gospel, when it's partnered with a deep love for people, it moves us, it stirs us to action. And so here's what I want to ask you this morning. Right? Can we just have a moment to just disengage from everything else that's going around? Can me and you have a moment this morning? I just want to ask you two questions, and I want us to think through the implications of that. The first question is this, me and you talking here. Do you understand the need and the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you understand the need of the gospel, that those without Christ will die separated from him? Do you understand that? Do you understand the hope of the gospel, that it has changed lives all around this globe and it continues to do so, and there are more lives in this world that need to be changed? Do you understand that? Second question is this. I want you to contemplate this. Do you love people? Do you love people? Do you love the people of Northeast Louisiana? When you see faces, are they just faces or are they people that God dearly loves? Do you love the people of New Orleans? That they're not there just to serve you when you go on vacation, but understanding that God loves them and Christ died for them, and so in you it creates a love for them because they're people created in the image of God. No matter what their socioeconomic level is, no matter what color of skin they have, no matter what they can do for you or what they can't do for you, do you love people? Do you love the people around the globe? Now, I know it's difficult. We don't see their faces. We don't know their names, but we trust that they're someone's daughter or they're someone's son. Because here's what I believe. That with that first question, do I understand the need and the hope of the gospel? Now, I may not understand all of it, but I think I could say yes to that. And if the answer to my second question is, do I love people? If the answer is yes to both of those, the implications of that are this: I cannot help but give and to go and to serve and to pray. Amen. And I would argue, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm trying to step on your toes a little bit. I pray you would know my heart in this. I would argue that as you look back over your life over the last year, 5 years, 10 years, that if you do not see a pattern of you going and giving and serving and praying, then I would argue that the answer to one of those questions is no. Either you don't fully understand the need of the gospel, either you don't fully understand the hope that the gospel really offers to people, or you just don't love them. And I have to say, as a church, we say yes to both questions. Amen. Now, you may not be, yeah. You may not be a regular attender here. You may be a guest, and you may be walking and saying, man, what did I get myself into? I was just coming to hear some music in a sermon. Listen, we think the answer is yes to both of these questions, that we're going to give up 2 Sundays a year. Because here's the reason why we do Transform. Here, I'm going to lay it out for you. Here's why we're not doing a normal service. It's because we believe that we need to recalibrate our hearts. We need to recalibrate our priorities to be people who understand the need and the hope of the gospel, and to be people who deeply love the people of this world. And we think that it's worth 2 Sundays a year to stop and to recalibrate our hearts. We think it's worth it for next Sunday for us to go above and beyond our normal tithes and offering to give to a Transform fund that's going to impact people like Larice and people like Kathy and these children that are being impacted, and people all over the globe that don't know Jesus. So I ask you again, do you understand the need and the hope of the gospel? And do you deeply love people? And if the answer is yes, here's the call to action. The first one, it is to give. It's to give. It's from the biggest gift to the smallest gift. It's saying, God, as we talked about last week, I want to leverage my resources. I want to leverage the things that, God, you've blessed me with, the things that I think important, and people coming to know Christ is a priority in my life. And so, God, I'm going to give to that.
Amen.
Our goal this year, what we're desiring to see, our missions team has been planning and praying that we're asking that as a church, we would partner together, as I said, from the smallest gift to the biggest gift, of saying right around $500,000 so we can support missionaries like the McIntyres and the Adcocks and other missionaries, that we can be about Broaden Horizons and Kids Hope and all kinds of other ministries. But it's going to take all of us if we answer yes to both of those questions, saying, God, I'm going to give. It's going to be in our going. That we're going to be people who we don't just sit back and say, this world is for us, I'm the center of the universe, but we're going to be people who model the heart of our Savior and go. And so as you leave today, you're going to hear some more about this in a second. You're going to get a magazine, and in that magazine, it's going to show you different trips that you can be a part of this year. Trips all over the globe for you to take that step. You've been saying, God, make me brave. Well, now he's saying, here's an opportunity for you to be brave. Let's go. Or maybe it's a local ministry that you can sign up out there to just say, hey, I'm going to take this first step and get involved in a local ministry. It's also going to be to pray. You've heard me say it. I'm going to continue to say it. We got a big old canvas where our staff meets. It just says moment on it because we believe that God can do more in a moment than we can do in a lifetime. Amen? Aren't you thankful for the power of God that we're not in this on our own? And so we're going to be people who are constantly praying and asking God that he would use us to make a difference in Nila and Nola and the world. I want to finish today by sharing this story with you. I was watching TV a couple weeks ago. And I was watching, it was like the Animal Channel or something like that. And they started talking about this fish. Now, some of you just started listening because you heard fish, all right? But but it was sharing a story about this fish that's found in Hawaii, in the streams of Hawaii. It's a goby fish is the type of fish that it is. But it's called a rock-climbing goby. A rock-climbing goby. You see this fish, it'll spend time out at sea, but then when it's time to spawn, it will make its way up these streams. And there are other gobies that do this, but the rock-climbing goby, it does just that. It is a fish that climbs rocks. Now, I know some of you, your mind's like, right? There's a fish that climbs walls. Yeah. You can see here some clips of it. You can see this fish. Biologists have determined that these fish can climb waterfalls as high as 100 feet tall. And the reason that this fish does it is because it understands that the higher upstream it gets, there's less chance of predators eating its babies. Now you're thinking, Michael, how in the world are you about to tie this in? Here's why. Because in that moment when I saw that on TV, I thought, man, that's it. That's it. So many of us, we come to that place and we see a waterfall, we see an obstacle, and we go, no. Can't do it. We come to a place where we sit in a service like this and we hear about opportunities and needs to serve and to be involved, but we see that waterfall that just go, man, that's uncomfortable. No, I'm good. Or we think about hearing where unapologetically we ask our church to give over and above for the Transform Fund that you say, you know what, I'm just not sure, waterfall. When we think about praying, maybe inside of us we think, I can't make a difference in my prayers. Does it really, really matter? There's a waterfall. But I would argue this morning that if God can make a fish that can climb waterfalls, he can help us get plugged into local ministries. Amen? Amen. Good gravy. And so Transform is about that. It's coming back to the base of the waterfall and looking at the waterfall and saying, if that fish can get up there because it values the life of its baby, then God, when I see that waterfall, I'm going to trust you in my giving, I'm going to trust you in my going, and I'm going to trust you in my praying because life matters, and not just life on this earth. Eternal life matters so much more. Amen. And so I pray this morning that as we recalibrate our hearts, you would ask yourself those two questions. Because when the answer is yes to that, there's nothing that I could say or do or not say or not do that would stop you from giving and going and serving.
Thanks so much for being with us today. My name is Michael Wood. I'm the lead pastor at First West. We're a church in two locations, in West Monroe, Louisiana, and in Sterlington, Louisiana. It's the heartbeat of our church to see people changed by the gospel and living out their Christ-centered purpose. If there's any way that we can pray for you or serve you, would you please contact us? You can get more information about our church at firstwest.cc. Thank you.